Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
On today's episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons, we're previewing Nebraska at Iowa, and the best person to help us do that is the one and only Jeremiah Searles. He makes his return to the show for the third time, and we talk about everything Huskers and Hawkeyes. And it's truly one of the best episodes we've ever done, over an hour of content. You're going to love it. You know what it is, baby. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans. Episode 167 of the podcast, aka the third installment of the White Shirts Lick White Dog Shit podcast. And we're back again, third installment, episode 3 or 4, with my guy Searles, your guys' favorite enemy, our favorite enemy turned friend. We also got a second guest on the podcast back for the first time since before we were wearing masks like schizophrenic weirdos. Kevin, welcome back, my man.
Hey, good to be back, boys.
Kevin. And Jeremiah, what's up? What's up?
Hello, friends. Hello, how are we? Everyone good? Safe, healthy, social distancing?
Yeah.
No.
I like the name that Drake gave you there, our favorite enemy. I really enjoy that. That works so well.
I would agree.
We'll get into that too. There's a question. Kevin's evidently moving.
Kevin, are you taking a shit right now, dude? And you're moaning real hard and stuff.
It's like breathing hard. Or
sorry, I forgot to put myself back on mute.
Okay. Well, favorite enemy would have to mean that you know, the enemy is in question almost. It is. I feel like, and again, we'll get to it, but there might be some enemy, like they might be their own enemies over there in Lincoln. And I don't know. We'll talk.
It's gotten bad. I mean, it's to the point where like I got buddies that used to text me like you guys and talk crap that just kind of text me and like, bruh, like, I'm sorry. I almost feel bad for you. Not many Iowa fans feel bad for me.
No.
But there's definitely some people that are like, yeah, I just feel bad for you that you have to deal with that.
Yeah. Well,
I no longer talk shit to you because for the first 2 weeks, we very, very much experienced what it felt like to be you guys for the last 5 years.
And it was tough.
The first 2 weeks were really tough, and we were in a bit of a tailspin around this podcast, wondering what the fuck these guys were thinking and like where their heads were at. And so I know the tailspin that your life has been in trying to be a Nebraska media guy, dude. It's a real negative rush.
That's a fact. You drilled it. And for me, I am hired by the Husker Sports Network. So I get like texts right after the game that are like, hey, remember, nothing too bad. Like, can't attack anyone. Like, don't forget. It's like,
so
oh, I know.
Your Instagram story the other day, when your head was just leaned up against the wall, you were so dejected. That was hilarious. Those are the tears that I love to bathe in.
Dude, it was horrible. We had a halftime show going on in an empty stadium for God knows what's reason. And so I got like, Hey Jude playing in the background. I'm trying to do a live Q&A with people, and we're getting just dirt stomped by the Fighting Illini from a team that looked like they couldn't throw the ball more than 4 yards the week before. Mm. And we just come off our first win. I didn't know what to say, dude. I got on the radio. I was like, well, I guess there's always next week.
Well, let's take some questions.
Yeah, I'm so happy I don't have to do the radio show where people call in.
Oh,
the radio show where people call in is a nightmare.
Nightmare. We
I can only imagine.
Yeah, it's only the angriest of fans that call into a radio show. Yep. You only get the polls.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
There's a here in Des Moines, the Iowa State. They do a show called Sound Off at Saturday nights after whatever. Once the second game finishes, once both games, both teams have played. And even after Iowa won, had won the third game against Michigan State, or it might've even been when we went 2-2 against Minnesota, they were still calling for KF's head after two straight wins. And it's just like, holy smoke. Like, people just wait. They're like licking their chops. Like, I'm going to call in and just whatever filth I can spew, it's going to be.
I'm going to get his ass. I'm going to show them. They're going to listen. They're actually going to fucking hear what I have to say about this program.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So thank you for joining us, Searles. It's going to be a fun one. Washup Walk-Ons fans, first of all, been crushing it on the YouTube channel. Evidently all we have to do around here is beg. So go make, if you have an email, you can have a YouTube account, right? Which means that, and I know that there's more than 800 people, which is how many people subscribe to us on the YouTube, that listen to this show. And I know that probably 99% of you have emails. So if you could go subscribe to us on the YouTube, all we need is like 140 of you to do it. And we will be at 1,000 subscribers, which makes us eligible for partnership on YouTube, which really just means that we make a little ad money on the tube. Not a whole lot, but it's just one more way we can continue to grow this show. Also, I'm an asshole host and I have not given the Patreon shout outs, the ones that they've been promised. So I will pull that up here in a second. In the meantime, Kevin, Drake mentioned it. You're back from a 2 week, maybe 2.5 or 3 week hiatus. Is there anything?
It's been 3 or 4 episodes. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything exciting happening in the ward life, work life? I don't know if there is anything other than the work life. Tell us about it.
I just got a headboard for my bed today, so I'm really excited about that.
Oh, nice. That's lit.
That's the things I get excited about these days.
Well, isn't it funny how adulting is? Yeah. There's nothing else?
Yeah, no, there's really nothing else, no.
Dude, did you have to?
Do you know how much Kevin just stuttered right there? It sounded like today, Junior?
I was interrupting him, so that's part of it. I have noticed at 26, the things that you get excited about, you, the proverbial you, all of us, are like, it's truly incredible. It's like, oh, there's a deal at the grocery store. Oh, yes. Kevin's going to be that guy.
Yeah, the new Dyson's on sale.
Yeah. Babe, I can get two for one on the shoe racks to place in our basement. All right, back on the Patreon, people who have subscribed since the last time, David, Jeff, Joel, Jason, Ryan, Joe, Nicholas, Derek, Josh, Bill, whose last name is Berger, Bill Berger, and Ann. Thank you guys so much.
The burgers are from Muscatine. Shout out the burgers from Muscatine. Mrs. Berger was a teacher of mine at some point in some grade.
Really?
Forgive me for not remembering what, but shout out Miss Berger and her husband or son, or maybe somebody who.
How would you rate that Muscatine education, by the way?
I don't know. How would you guys rate my Muscatine education?
Low.
C plus.
Because you guys knew me when I got there at 18 years old. You guys can judge the raw 18-year-old Muscatine Drake Kulik. How was he?
I don't know. I feel like you were – I don't know. You're a smart guy.
I think you've gone downhill since then, actually.
Really?
I think the Iowa education took him down.
I'd been the hits to the head.
It was definitely the hits to the head.
Well, the fullback doesn't do anything for God. CTE. Incredible. Anyway, thank you guys on the Patreon so much for subscribing again. You guys are the true walk-on army. That's what it is around here, Searles. The walk-on army.
I'm in on it.
And we got sweet shirts if you haven't seen them yet.
I should send one to Searles just for the hell of it.
I'll wear it.
Got guns on the back.
I'll wear it. I need a football team.
Okay, and cool. It actually has nothing to do with the Hawks except for their colors, because we're supposedly just not allowed to do shit with Iowa's stuff on it, you know? Like we didn't play for the program or anything.
Yeah, hey, Searles, we tried to get a shirt going. So Kittle and
Kevin. Kevin, mute your mic.
Kevin's eating chips again. Hope he's Kevin's just smashing the sour cream and cheddar Lays right now, or whatever they're called, which are delicious. Anyway, Kittle on his Instagram post back in college, and then still to this day when he posts anything about Hawkeyes, he hashtags Kirk's dogs.
Yep, I've seen that.
He made it up, and so we hit him up like a year ago and was like, hey, we should do a Kirk's dogs t-shirt collab. And he was like, cool, I love it, let's do it. We hit up our people. They're like, yeah, cool, all you have to
got
do
a sweet design Kirk's dogs. It was going to be an Iowa, like maybe camo colors or whatever, had a dog tag chain hanging down that had our numbers and then George's, and God, it was going to be such a sweet shirt.
And we hit up KF's agent. That's the only person we needed approval from, because it wasn't going to be a licensed product. Mm-hmm. We were going to use a Tiger Hawk. Just needed to be able to use Kirk's likeness and the colors. And we're pretty sure that the agent never even took it to him. And just
probably not.
Yeah, we don't align with this opportunity at this point. It's like the most bullshit PC answer.
Oh my God.
So, and half the money was going to go to the Children's Hospital anyway.
Dude, every university is greedy little shits, and yep. No one can tell anyone any different. I don't care if you are the most pristine university of all time. If you're not getting your pockets filled with money by the person who's promoting something, you ain't getting.
Listen,
especially now.
The Penn State pee-pee touchers were, as far as I knew, they were an all-time prestigious college, and they were putting things in kids' butts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's a slippery slope.
Universities are crooked.
God.
Start with t-shirts, and it slowly slips from there. It's everyone's fear.
I really tested the boundary there. I was about to say something bad. I'll just say it with all of you knowing that I held back on just letting it come out of my mouth. I know that this is not funny, and this should not. But this is what popped in my head. You said they used to. And at this point, I was about to say, maybe they should start. Because at least they were winning games back then, man. But they should not start again. No one should condone that. That is illegal, disgusting activity. And man, Joe Pa probably knew.
This podcast is so wild. I love it so much.
Joe Pa for sure knew. Don't let's draw the line right there. Let's none of us.
Why do you think he died, bro?
Yeah. None of us here thoroughly believe that he was just in the dark in the corner and no, he didn't know for 100 years what was going on with his boy.
What a wild situation. I mean, just never something that you would suspect would happen.
I actually played there the week after all that crap went out.
Your safety,
dude. It was crazy. It was wild. So that shit came out the one week we went, and literally the hotel we stayed in, I don't know if you guys did the same, it's that one hotel that's like the rooms are outside. And yes. The Sandusky Orphanage is like right across the street. Like, I'm dead serious. Like, we stood out on our balconies. We're like, holy shit. Like, that is the Sandusky Orphanage. Like, and it's all boarded up. And you're
it's
like,
plantation.
You're gonna burn that place to the ground. And then you go to the game. There were so many cops everywhere. It was not a fun place to be.
That's wild. Well, Penn State is a team that Iowa and Nebraska both have played. We played them last week. You guys played them the week before. Both of the teams came out with a win, which truly, again, shows where the Penn State program is at this point. Curious, Searles, they have Michigan, Rutgers. Michigan, Rutgers, Michigan State left on their schedule. Penn State does. Do you think that they win a game this year?
No, I really don't.
I don't either.
That team is bad. Like, everyone's like, they got so much talent, and they do have a bunch of talent, but I mean, Nebraska's bad. And so you get beat by Nebraska, and then Iowa is, I mean, they're middle of the road Big Ten team right now. I'm not going to pretend that they're in the bottom tier like us, but they're definitely in the middle of the road, and they smacked Penn State. Now, granted, Michigan's bad. I think Rutgers is better than most people give them credit for.
Yeah, they are.
And then Michigan State.
And Maryland's much better than people give them credit for, too.
Dude, Rutgers, I love this. So everyone's freaking out about the quarterback position in Nebraska right now, right? Adrian Martinez.
Luke I was Cameron. Just about Federal, to baby. Ask you. That was my very first question to you. Bruh. Was what does Adrian Martinez do now?
I mean, he leaves, but we let Noah Vedral walk, and he's at Rutgers lighting it up. He was the best quarterback on the roster last year. There's no doubt about it. You watch him out there dropping dimes. I watched him dismantle Illinois. Dismantle. Granted, they lost the game, but he was throwing balls all over the place. I don't know. Adrian Martinez is out of here. There's no doubt.
That's a kid who has all the actual raw talent in the world. And what a really good coach, a really good quarterback coach could do with that much talent. It's his ceiling is really high.
I completely agree. And at this point, you guys are all former players, so you understand it. At one point, you look at a player and the idea of he's just a bad player from the outside is not a viable argument. It's why isn't he developing? And then you then look at who is not developing and why is that not happening? And you can point fingers at coaches. You can point fingers at strength staff. But at one point in time, the narrative of, oh, he's just a bad player is dead. And I think in year three of a program, that's a dead narrative. And you have to start looking internally on why is he not developing into what he should be.
Do you think here's the issue that I see. I think you look at Luke McCaffrey, who seems to have the charisma, have the type of get behind that Spencer Petras does currently in the Iowa program. Yep. He's the guy that people want to play for. They'll get up for him. Do you fear that? Cause, and again, and it showed this weekend, McCaffrey's got a lot of growing to do too. Do you fear that the same thing happens with Adrian Martinez, so much talent, so much promise early on, and then just doesn't develop? Could the same thing happen with McCaffrey?
I think if you don't make some serious self, like if I'm Scott Frost and Mario Verduzzi, the head or the quarterback's coach, and Lubick, the offense coordinator, I'm going, okay, how do we like, not let this happen again, right? You self-scout. Self-scout yourself. Well, that means you put your ego in serious check. And we all know coaches that have a hard time doing that. And I'm not saying that Scott does, but I'm just thinking that he may or may not want to do that.
So you said your quarterback coach was Verduzzi?
Verduzco.
Was he from UNI?
Yeah, he wears the glasses and has the cigar.
Biggest prick of all fucking time. Let me tell you about this dude, please. Verduzco. Oh my God.
First of all, the way
he treated his players at UNI was like my jaw dropped.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, his last name sounds like something you'd order at a low end Italian restaurant. Like, I'll take the Verduzco, huh?
There's no surprise that Adrian Martinez and the quarterbacks aren't like producing anything because they have an absolute dickhead for a coach that nobody would ever want to play for. I would not have played one day for that guy, and I had to play for Chris White.
Chris White, about the, like 2006 or 2004 when he was the Northern Iowa OC in QB.
Yeah,
coach.
I was at a camp or something. I think I was at a camp, and the way I saw him treat his players was insane.
Interesting.
It is interesting. So here we are. The Hawks are 3-2. Something that on this podcast, we were really, you know, I probably wouldn't have put any amount of money after 2 weeks that this is where we'd be sitting. The Northwestern loss now looks even though it just is still, if you look at the game in a bubble, you're like, wow, we really fucked that one away. At this point, it doesn't look as bad. The Purdue loss, if you consider first game of a COVID season, and we lost, and we just, I mean, it was like kind of, hey, who's going to take this one? Who's not going to lose this one? That one doesn't look absolutely horrible. Iowa sits in an okay. What?
Still looks pretty bad.
Yeah, still doesn't look great, but a lot, we're looking a lot better than we did after 2 weeks. The Huskers are only, they've only played four games because they were not they were not able to go up against Wisconsin, because I think
I'm not mad about that.
Yeah. I think Illinois coughed all over Wisconsin, or one or the other. Someone had COVID, something went down. And yeah, as a Husker fan, I think a lot of people were pissed, but why, you know?
I think originally, because I mean, if you watch, kind of like you said, the first game of the year, we played Ohio State, right? Basically the big fuck you from the Big Ten to Nebraska. Like, hey, mm-hmm. you guys wanted to play. There you go. And I mean, honestly, we didn't play them horribly. No. The score got out of hand at the end with some turnovers. But like, if you watched it from start to finish.
It was a close game at halftime, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it was. And you're like, okay, there's some promise here, right? And so I think a lot of Nebraska fans, and even I think Scott at the time was like, we need to get back on the field as soon as possible to try and grow from that. As a player, you make a huge jump from game one to game two as a program a lot of times.
100%.
Get those pregame jitters out, all that stuff. So I think that was the big thing while people were pissed. And then you guys can tell me if you think Nebraska is like stupid for trying to go non-conference route, because we got publicly shamed by everybody for just wanting to play football. Didn't really understand it. Everyone hates us for it, but it's like, we just wanted to go play a game. So we tried to get Chattanooga, and then they said yes, and the Big Ten said no. And then now one's like, yo, Desmond Howard's the biggest coward of all time, and I want to fight him. But he like comes out and just talks a bunch of crap about Nebraska. And so I would, at the time, yeah, I wanted to play Wisconsin because I wanted another measuring stick of where Nebraska's program was in year three.
Yeah.
Looking back on it now, three games later, probably for the best that we didn't.
What do you think about what Northwestern did to them this past weekend?
Classic Big Ten game, dude. I called it on the radio on Friday. I was like, dude, this is going to be like a 17-13. I mean, Wisconsin have every opportunity to win that game. But, dude, Fitz's boys.
Five turnovers, yeah.
Yeah, Fitz's boys.
Oh, did they really?
Yes. Like, they turned it over a bunch. But Fitz's boys know how to play defense. And
always been, man.
Right.
They keep the score low and they keep themselves in very, very Iowa-esque. And they had our number while we were playing there, which was real frustrating.
This is an incredible stat. I saw this when I was maybe when we did this week's earlier podcast, Sunday's podcast. Northwestern through five games has allowed six touchdowns. Five games.
None of them in the second half, right?
Yeah. Like the two versus Iowa were first half.
Yeah. And yeah. We scored in the first half. We didn't score again in the second half, or we kicked field goals. But like when they were playing us last week, when they beat us, they had not allowed a touchdown in the second half yet. So I don't know if Wisconsin scored one, but that would have been the first one. Well, the Huskers scored their first touchdown of the second half last week. So that's a plus.
Yeah. Just,
hey, there you go.
Yeah. Just kind of a wild circle of like weird things that have happened this year. I mean, kind of just goes with the year, right? Mm-hmm. At this point, and it's one of the questions too, because we did field a couple questions on the Twitter.
The twatter.
This one is for you, Jeremiah. It just is, in general, how do you feel that Frost is doing through 3 years, and how do you feel this season? How would you describe Cliff Notes' version of the Nebraska football team?
So, first question, how do I feel about Scott Frost year three? And I'm a firm believer in that each coach by year three, you need to see marked improvement. You need to see, and I'm not talking about winning games. I'm talking about the way your team plays, mm-hmm. the mistakes that they do, the way that they show up to the field. Are they ready to go? Are they prepared? Is the game plan prepared? Is there guys running off the field late? And the problem is I'm seeing the same mistakes that they made in year one and year three. And that's really hard to pin on the players. I wouldn't say I'm satisfied with where the Husker program is in year three of Scott Frost. I really was hoping for it to be a lot farther. I was really hoping for some of the talent to develop. Like we were hoping to see Adrian Martinez as a freshman, Heisman hopeful as a sophomore, benched as a junior, right? That's not the kind of development you hope to see from players. So Cliff Notes version of the Husker football team this season, extremely excited moments to see progress in week one to the lowest loss of the Nebraska program history in probably 10 to 15 years this past Saturday.
So, yikes. It was that bad.
Dude, so we've had our blowouts, right? Like, don't get me wrong. Iowa's come in here and they've dirt stomped us. We've had Wisconsin, Ohio State, like Minnesota beat us good last year. They were a top 10 team, but like, boys, this is the Illinois Fighting Illini. Like, this is not a powerhouse program. This is not a 10 win, 12 win, 11 win conference championship, Capital One Bowl day, New Year's Eve college football playoff team. This is the Fighting freaking Illini, the Orange Crush. And they came in here and rubbed our dicks in it. And I honestly, thoroughly believe that was the most embarrassing loss of Scott Frost's career. I'm sorry. It kills me to say it, but I have to call it as it is.
Oh, man. You just didn't you?
It's not good.
I do think Illinois is getting better. I think Illinois is a little bit better team than people give it credit for. But I want to follow up with that question. Like, what do you think it is? Because, you know, Scott Frost, you know, was there in Nebraska when you guys were – national title contenders every year. He took a Central Florida team and brought them to a new level, going undefeated, beating Auburn in the Sugar Bowl, I think. And he comes to Nebraska, and they've recruited well, and they've got talent there. What is it like? It seems like what's the missing piece?
It's hard to say. So, I mean, when I was there a couple of years back when I was still in the league and I'd work out, like I was kind of around the guys, so you could kind of get a vibe of what was going on. And there was definitely some hangover from the Riley era to the Scott Frost era, where not everyone was on the same page, at least that first year, guys. And so like, that's to be expected, right? Second year, you kind of,
I didn't come here to play with you. Yeah. Exactly.
Correct. It's like, I didn't sign up for this. Like, I didn't sign up for what you're making us do, blah, 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 boo. So then, you get to the second year, you weed more of those out. Now, I haven't got to be around the team at all this year because of COVID, right? That place is lock and key, as is everything. So I just hear rumblings. I just hear rumblings from certain guys and certain people who heard certain things from certain guys. And from what it sounds like is it just sounds like the inmates are running the asylum a little bit. It sounds like guys are kind of upset with other guys. And so there's like little fights going on in between guys. And then like, it just seems like there's a bunch of little distractions. And when you have a bunch of little distractions, that really, really takes away from what you have to do on-field performance.
Man, Searles, you just put together a little monologue that sounds a lot like one that I thought about going on earlier this year.
Sounds a bit familiar.
Yeah.
To a team 3 weeks ago, we were concerned that the Iowa football team might have anarchy and they were going to name Tyler Goodson head coach. He was going to stand off to the side and then they were going to all swarm and he would follow. It really seemed like
that's what it looked like after 2 weeks, you know, blow a game versus Purdue. We had like 120 yards of penalties. Blow a 17-point lead to Northwestern. Night after that, our star wide receiver gets busted for a DUI. It's like, oh my god, like the plane's going down.
Yeah,
we thought at least we've.
I have a question for you too. Not so much Searles because he's not around the Iowa program. This is one that I got in the DM. I guess he didn't want to put it out there for public, but. I know the answer. I want to hear you guys kind of elaborate on it, or at least I know kind of where you'll go with it. The question was the two different teams. I mean, it's literally I don't know if there's been another year in Iowa history where you could put a little divider in the season, you know, first two games, last three games, and you could see such a two different teams. Now, you know, you look at that individually, and Petras has been, you know, fairly consistently average to below average if you're being relative to everybody in the Big Ten, but the team, the result has gotten drastically better. For you, Kevin,
I'll start off by saying that the last three teams we played are significantly worse than the first two teams we played.
Okay. And that's where I was going to go.
Makes it easier.
Yeah. The question was there a switch flipped which we all know is kind of it's not that easy. Was there a switch flipped? You know, the DUI happens. They kind of look at themselves. Shit, we're 0-2. This thing could go downhill real fast. The public was in a bad spot. The fan base was. Or is it more just, well, we kind of hit a nice little run of daisies in the pasture, and that helped us gain momentum week by week by week. And now that helped us find our identity, which kind of, you know, the structure of the season, the schedule helped us dig ourselves out of that bad place. I lean more towards there. I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts.
Well, there's that. And I will say you have seen improvement throughout the year, week one to week two to week three, and so on and so on. The team has gotten better. I think we played fairly solid defense all year long.
Yeah.
But I think the offense is starting to get a little bit more of an identity. You know, started off, all right, we have these receivers we've got to get the ball to. Bam, 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 try to do a little too much. And I think we've realized what we have at quarterback. So
identity.
I think we're kind of going back to like, okay, we're a ground and pound team. Let's not try to outsmart ourselves here. And let's just run the ball. Cause we got some two guys in the backfield that can make things happen. So, and I think we've gotten a little bit more rhythm on offense, and that helps.
Yeah.
And again, like the opponents have not been what we saw the first 2 weeks.
Yeah. Drake.
I agree with everything Kevin said there. And on top of that, I will add that I do believe that there were a lot of individuals that took a very long look in the mirror, and maybe that there was then a meeting of the minds, and everybody was kind of like, listen, what we thought might not be what's right. Like, what we think we got it figured out, and maybe we don't. And it's time to put the ego aside and just go win some football games. And, you know, I know what I would have been doing if we were 0-2. I would have been staring in that mirror wondering what the hell is going on.
It would have felt bad. I think it's both, like you said. I do hope, I really do hope that somebody in that locker room, hard to really see who, maybe it was Spencer. Spencer seems to be a vocal guy. Someone had to step up. You know, maybe not as far as a players only meeting, but, you know, after practice or in the locker room, in the weight room, before a lift group, someone had to step up and say, guys, we better wake the fuck up. All right. We're going to throw something away, throw the talent away that we've got. And this is going to go downhill fast. I really hope somebody said something along those lines. I'm going to go back to, a little bit of what came up in that question, identity as a team, and come back to you, Searles. For people who don't understand this whole identity thing, how important is it for a team to play to their identity and know what their identity is, you know?
It's huge. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're talking college, NFL, high school. If a team doesn't know who they are, they have no chance of beating anyone else. For example, so if you want to hang your hat on like Iowa, right? Iowa is an inside, there's a mid-zone running football team. That's what they do. You know it. I know it. The whole country knows it. And the thing is that makes it an identity is they don't care that you know it. They just go back to it because they know they're good at it. Whereas you look at Nebraska, Nebraska has no idea who their identity is. Mm-hmm. They're trying to go inside zone, outside zone. Are we RPO? Are we zone read? Are we throwing like, and so if you don't know, that gives you a lot of uncertainty as a player because you can't really just hang your hat on anything. Mm-hmm. And same on the defense. Right.
And it's hard to be good at 10 different things.
Right. It's easy to be, I mean, it's the jack of all trades, master of none, right? Like it's really easy to be mediocre at 10 things instead of superior and elite at 2 things.
That's why I do CrossFit.
There you go, bud. Yeah, I see your posts all the time.
Dude, I'm really good, average to good at everything.
Apparently, if I drink 8 ounces of water before I eat, I'm going to lose 20 weight, bro. Pounds.
Who wants to go out? Who wants to come after me? I tweeted that if you drink 8 ounces, a glass, you have to chug right before you go to have your meal. Chug a little 8, maybe 12 ounces. Maybe I should have gone 12 ounces.
What you're doing is just tricking your stomach, man. You're just eating less. You're taking up a lot of volume in your stomach before you eat with fluid.
Yeah,
I don't.
It's a good trick. Yeah, I just don't know if
it's a great
really
trick.
Gonna lose
I
weight as frequently
you.
As possible.
You don't believe me? I've done it with 3 clients,
so
bro.
Here, Kluve, here's the thing. Here's the reason I don't think people believe you is because we know how much 12 ounces of water would not limit shit for us, first of all. Mm-hmm. And two, we also know the weakness of people's minds and how likely they are to make those calories up on the back end later on in the day because they're hungry.
I'm willing
because that water has gone right through and they've pissed it out.
I will also say, if you're actually actively trying to lose weight, I completely agree with you. If you are saying like, okay, yeah, I'm trying to lose weight, I'm watching my figure, counting my calories, doing cardio. Yep. Okay, I'm also going to do this. But if you're just like, oh, sweet, I just have to drink 12 ounces of water before every meal and I can go smash this entire cheese pizza and lose weight, awesome. There's where I'm just like, I understand what you're saying, but I think there's got to be two pieces to
it. And there's 240 characters in a tweet, and obviously and I can't go into the nuance of it, but that's I'm fair. Even willing to bet, and I've done this with three clients who, again, are in the mindset of I'm committing to losing weight. However, I'm willing to bet that if you just do it and you stick to it consistently, man, day four, you're going to be like, all right, well, I got to drink my 12 ounces of water before the meal again. The mindset of why am I doing this? You're going to start to naturally make other decisions towards weight loss. All right, I'm drinking the water.
I'll make this bet. I'll do it.
No. You can't do it because you're not a normal person.
I'll get back on the train. I got to get back on anyways. I'm back up to like 290. My wife's pregnant. She's baking all the time.
What's your favorite baked good?
Hey guys, want to interrupt the show to let you guys know that we are sponsored by Indeed. Yes, 2020 has already changed so many things in the way that we work, and businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient every day, which means that every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job posts, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a $75 credit for free at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now. It's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, dude, the homemade chocolate chip cookies. It's not even close.
All right, man. Where does banana bread rank on your guys' list?
Pretty high, dude. By the way, I went to Hawaii for my honeymoon. They've got a little place called the Halfway to Hana, which is this scenic drive on the coast of Maui. These Hawaiian women, they wake up at 3:30 in the morning and they bake banana bread fresh. It's the most delicious thing you've ever had in your life, boys.
That's a woman I need in my life.
Anyway, my favorite baked good is cinnamon roll, but yeah.
Is what? I didn't hear that. What's cinnamon your favorite roll. Baked good? Cinnamon roll. Like a Cinnabon or like a homemade cinnamon roll?
Oh. Homemade cinnamon roll. Yeah.
Cinnabon.
Cinnabons are pretty hot. Honey buns?
The hot cum sauce or whatever. Who is that? Jim Gaffigan? Jim Gaffigan who does that?
I honestly would have thought that came out of Bo Bauer's mouth.
Is Bo on this podcast? What is
that? I love Bo. Bo's an elite human.
Elite.
We know. He's in just today. I mean, you take the quotes he puts in our group text. He would be, I mean, he could sell a book, I think. Okay. So
back to identity on who you are as a football team.
Who you are as a cinnamon roll.
Yeah, basically. But yeah,
Nebraska is a bunch of fucking cinnamon rolls right now. That's what they are.
Nebraska's is Iowa cinnamon roll and chili state.
I guess, but I've never heard of it.
It's huge here. I've never heard of it till I got to Nebraska.
That's a combination.
That's a combo.
Yes, that's a combo of food in Nebraska. Like they used to serve it like hot school lunch.
Okay, yeah, so now that you've brought this up, I eat chili.
That's wild.
I eat chili like 4 or 5 times a week because the casino has really elite chili and it's only like $5 or something, and I get player comps and shit. So like I eat lunch for free, so I literally eat a bowl of chili every single day, and I would love to have a cinnamon roll with it.
Apparently, that's okay. A thing.
So, like, what's the deal? Do you dunk the cinnamon roll in the chili and you eat like a biscuit? Like,
I don't think so. And Searles, it's crazy you bring this up because back to the Twatter where I do a lot of socializing. Like 3 weeks ago, I tweeted something like, "It's crazy how if you close your eyes and imagine, you can still smell your high school cafeteria."
Mm.
And I got a response, a couple of responses to that. We started like debating best high school foods or like best school lunches.
Yeah.
And chili and cinnamon roll came up from a bunch of people in Iowa. And I was like, what the hell is going on? I've never heard of this.
Yeah. I don't know where I was.
Marshalltown didn't do it, but evidently
that must be a Western Iowa thing.
I don't know what, but evidently
huge here in Nebraska. Huge.
So if Nebraska was a baked good and Iowa was a bake, I think Iowa is more like a breakfast cake, Kevin. You know those breakfast cakes?
Like a breakfast coffee cake?
Like a
coffee cake.
A cinnamon coffee cake?
No, we used to call those muffins from Hy-Vee, Iowa, the breakfast cakes.
Oh, yeah.
Muffins are just muffins. Someone created the word muffin to disguise that it's just cake for breakfast.
So you can eat cake for breakfast. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Those Hy-Vee muffins are low key, like cake. they're cake. They're delicious, but they're cake.
Dude,
I remember Kluver, after eating one at training table, would grab like two or three and bring them back home.
Yes, sir.
Dude, the Costco, like they have, I don't remember, like their blueberry muffins, and then the Costco, like
Costco
they have those like
great muffins.
They have those like crisp. It's like a coffee crumble with like the drizzle. Like I used to hammer those in high school.
So it must be a grocery store thing because the fries across the street from my house, the grocery store has the most elite bakery I've ever been in. And I put on probably 25 pounds at the beginning of the lockdown because I just went to Fry's and bought up their bakery to make myself feel better. And I sat my fat ass on the couch and just went to town.
So, yeah. And somehow we just talked about food for, I imagine we could do it for much longer, but back to the identity thing. If you know, Nebraska basically thinks that they're like, you know, they're fast food right now. And really they're like a cheap grocery store item. And
we're a strip mall Chinese joint.
No, you guys are Taco Bell tacos.
Oh, easy there, dude. We're not a national chain. Don't put us in that.
Yeah.
We're a strip mall mom and pop Chinese. We're a Chinese food strip mall owned by a white couple.
So I think either place is going to give you food poisoning.
Yeah. Just well, saying. Yeah. I think Iowa is probably more of like, you know,
you guys are a Panda Express, the sugar chicken.
Yeah. It's
you sell the dream of Chinese food and then you taste it and you're like, kind of.
Maybe
George would take that as the biggest compliment ever.
I know he does.
He's God, what a God tier sponsorship.
Right to the Panda. Bank, dude.
Oh my God.
Nothing
freaking
like
Panda
it.
Mondays. Are you kidding me? Okay. Let's shift this back.
Get back in the rails.
Yeah. I am a firm believer that when a coach comes into a program, that he needs minimum 4 years. I think 4 years is the minimum. And here's why. And at Iowa, it was this way. And really across the Big Ten, I get the feeling that it's this way. Iowa, maybe more than anywhere else, which was under scrutiny this summer, the culture buzzword, culture. Who creates the culture? Who implements the culture? Who does the culture start with? What is the culture? When a guy comes into a program, and you mentioned it, you know, there's that first couple of years where you're dealing with a lot of guys who didn't sign up to play for this guy. Clearly that's a, you know, and maybe he's just a guy that can come in and win those guys, right? But you're not going to win everybody. And I think that
at the way his players were at UCF, dude, he won the whole,
I know,
he won everybody. He won every fan, every media member, every player, he won it all.
Yeah. And here's what I think with Scott Frost at Nebraska right now. He's in year three, which means that currently there is still two full classes, fifth year seniors, fourth year juniors, which in the Big Ten school like Nebraska, you have a lot of those guys, more so than the SEC schools where guys play their freshman year. You got a lot of development going on at the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. You got little white kids from the Midwest who they have to take a couple years to develop. And so there's still two classes at the top of the program that aren't Scott Frost kids. Generally, when you look at the team, the culture is implemented, represented, and trickled down from those top senior leaders, the top guys, mostly the guys who are playing. Mm-hmm. I think he needs one more year. I think any coach needs one more year. I think next year, and now you throw the whole COVID thing in, and maybe you get even a fifth year, 4.5 years on that.
So pause you right there, Kluve. I mean, Jeremiah, is he on the hot seat this year, you think?
He can't be. We have him extended to like 2026. And we're still paying Mike Riley to like 2023. We just stopped playing Bo Pelini in like 2019. So like we have a habit of just running off coaches. We can't. And like, let's be real. We run off Scott Frost out of Nebraska.
Who wants to take?
Yeah.
You just ran off the prodigal son that came home. And now you're like, oh yeah, we need someone better. No, thanks.
Forget about it. Literally nobody's giving you their resume. You're going to have to find somebody from Division II.
Jeremiah, you're going to be coaching. Paycheck. You're going to be the head coach.
I don't want those problems.
Hey, if you get the head coaching job, we can bring us onto your staff.
You'll be my sports psyche guy, Drake.
Hell yeah.
I'll just have
anyone
that has any mental issues that like are struggling with some small stuff, I'll make sure they go to your office.
If it was for the check and to coach alongside my buddy Jeremiah, I would put aside the beef and just teach the soft ass players y'all got the actual way to be a man, and you know, we'd get the place figured out.
I would agree. And back to your point, Tyler, about the four year thing. I agree with you. I think 4 years is a good number. The problem is, I mentioned a little earlier, year three is when you need to start seeing that progress moving forward, right? Like you need to see some tangible evidence. Scott Frost got asked a really hard question after the game where he's like, Scott, how do you sell like progress in year three here now after a performance like that? And you're just like, oh shit.
That's a good question. Not one he wanted to get answered.
And he legitimately like didn't have an answer. He was like, you know what? That's a fair assessment after a game like today.
Oh God.
And like the second he said that, I was like, oh boy. Like, this ain't good, man. And then, and so he's going to get at least two more years because we're not going to run him out. He's extended through 2026. Again, I think everyone gets a pass here in COVID a little bit. Like, there's a little bit of a pass. But, I mean, you look across the Big Ten, like, Michigan's in the very same situation we are.
I was just about to ask you, you know, Jim Harbaugh is a former quarterback there, golden boy. Everyone's raving when they get him. Now he's in the hot seat.
He should be in the hot seat. They're 0-5 or something against Ohio State.
Well, a lot of people are 0-5 versus Ohio State. They're not.
Not the Hawks.
Caught a pass in that game, by the way. Caught a pass against the Buckeyes. Didn't score. Caught a pass. Drake and I talked about the COVID pass.
No. Let Kevin finish his thought. He was in the middle of a thought.
Well, yeah, I mean, they talk about James Franklin out in Penn State. A lot of these guys having really bad years. Do they get a little bit of a leniency in COVID? And, like you said, you run these guys out who are like, you know, he's the Michigan man. Like, okay, who wants to go take that job and feel safe about their, where they're going to be living?
To be honest, I think a lot of people would take the Michigan job over the Nebraska job.
Agree.
Yeah. 100%. I think again, Drake and I talked about the COVID pass. Franklin's not on the hot seat this year because you can kind of chalk it up to, well, it was COVID, man. We didn't get any prep. But if you go out and stink next year, you got problems in Michigan. At Michigan, you got problems at Penn State. You got problems at Nebraska. Question I got asked, I do a radio show in Des Moines on Monday mornings, Searles, and the host runs a podcast with a Husker fan, I guess a Big Ten podcast. He asked me this question and I don't know enough to pay attention. Evidently Nebraska has done some shifting along their offensive line. They've been trying guys at different spots. And the question he posed to me was, is there an issue with guys trying to play different spots or Is that the issue? Can guys on the offensive line shift around today, or is that the problem for Nebraska, or is it the problem that the guys that they're doing it with don't have the ability to?
So it's a little bit of twofold. So for example, the biggest shift that's going on right now is at the center position for Nebraska. Cam Jurgens is a former tight end that gained a whole bunch of weight and now plays offensive line.
The Brady Ross dream, by the way.
Related to my wife, by the way, Jurgens is.
There he is. So he then is now, he moves to center, and he's one of those crazy athlete big guys, right? Yep. Like, he shouldn't be able to move the way he does. But the problem is he has a really hard time getting the ball from the ground to the quarterback in the shotgun. Like, it's all over the place. And a lot of that, people think that's why Adrian is struggling and that's why Luke is struggling. And it's very true, because when you run a Scott Frost offense, which is all timing, quick screens, quick throws, RPOs, reads, right? Like, the quarterback is functioning at 100 miles an hour. And if the first thing he's thinking about is, oh shit, where's this snap going to be? It's an issue. So he got pulled last week, or he got hurt, and then they put someone in. I honestly think he got benched personally, but Scott said his toe's hurting him, so apparently he couldn't use his right hand to snap.
Dude, he for sure whatever. Got benched.
Yeah, whatever. And so then you look at it. So we slide our now, who was our starting right tackle last year, who's now playing right guard, into center. We move our starting left guard over to right guard, and we bring in our backup left guard, and like, you're just kind of shuffling pieces, and it's not easy to do in the college level. I did it in the NFL because
I think our
go ahead.
Yeah,
I said
I was about to say, I think it's pretty common in the NFL, because what, you got seven offensive linemen that dress usually.
Yeah, you got.
But I remember we did that one time. I think it was maybe our junior year, and I got switched from like tackle to guard and something, like, I don't know. We were just trying to mix it up on the offensive line because they weren't playing that great, and I said, I think Boone asked him a question, and he's like, "Dude, I have no idea what I'm doing right now." We ended up winning that game, though, so it's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah,
it's not easy by any means.
Definitely an issue that, I mean, the little things like that, things that are happening that people don't, they're not even aware of, make it so difficult to just get a rhythm going, right?
What did Ike answer, though?
Okay, I mean, Ike has no idea. He just
said,
I said, what an Ike answer.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a great, I mean, Ike's just, he's our boy.
He probably said, looked at him and goes, "Boys, I have no idea."
Yeah. Oh my God, that sounded exactly like him. Oh my goodness. Okay, let's point this in a final direction here before we go and we give.
Why are we ever gonna end this, dude? This is the most fun I've had since I can't remember when.
Can I ask you guys one question?
Yeah,
I'm curious. So, and you can tell me if I'm off base here, but for Nebraska for years now, the favorite position on the team by the fan base is the backup quarterback. Yeah. And for whatever reason, they always assume that's like all our problems will be solved with whoever.
That's every program, I think.
Is that going on? Was that going on for you guys at all?
Absolutely. Right now?
Early in the season, like weeks one and two, was it like quarterback's fault? Got to get him out. Got to start
still,
over.
It's no, Jeremiah. It's still going on.
Okay.
And here's the issue: is we have a recent history example of it working. CJ Beathard. We had a guy named Jake Rudock who somehow went to Michigan and then somehow played in the NFL or might still be in the NFL.
He was a backup quarterback.
He's still bouncing around there somewhere.
He's still in the league somehow. So he was our starter 2014, 2013, 2014. CJ Beathard, everybody on the team knew had the raw talent and was more raw. Everybody wanted to play behind CJ much more than they would get up for Jake, like you talked about earlier. The problem was, I don't think CJ had a full grasp on the playbook for a while. At least that was what I got. But when we finished that 2014 season and Kamara and Tennessee, I think Kamara was on that team, absolutely ran us out of Jacksonville. KF was like, okay, CJ's our guy. Jake's the backup. So now everybody thinks, oh, we did it with CJ. CJ was, you know, and the problem is they don't understand that we don't have a CJ right now. We don't have any. It's just not the case. But yeah, it's still happening. Petras is one of the main topics after every game. He hasn't gotten much better. He flashes with, I mean, he had an incredible throw against Penn State where he put it only where the tight end could grab it on the goal line for an almost touchdown. Ended up not being one. But then he'll throw you know, a simple one step swing pass to the outside and it's 10 feet over the guy's head. So interesting situation right now in Iowa City with that. You're right, Drake. I don't want to end this early, but I do understand, you know, Searles is a father. Okay.
About to be a dad of two.
About to be a two time.
Girl
two
come time. To March. Girl,
man, I heard it gets so serious when it's the second one and you're having a little girl. So it's about to get so, so serious.
Hey, it's 2v2.
I'm just glad she's coming after hunting season, man. Like hunting season, goose season ends like July, like, or February, like 14th or something like that. Gives us about a month to get the final preps in. Probably won't be doing much turkey hunting this year, boys, but that's okay.
There'll be other years, right?
Yes.
She doesn't want to sit in the blind with you?
No, not, I'll take my son. I'll let him come. He's just got to be quiet. Which
I saw, right now, I saw a video of your son nose diving off the table yesterday. Yeah,
dude, 100%. I was sitting on the chair. He's standing on our coffee table and I'm videoing. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And he just turns, looks at me and just full speed sprints off the table. And I was not ready to catch him. Not at all. And then he was like, I dropped the phone. His face smacks my knee. He starts crying. I'm like, I don't know what you expected.
No,
kids sometimes you just got to learn. Sometimes you just got to learn, dude.
Yeah, you got to
figure it out.
Nebraska comes in to Iowa City. I will
What's
be
the
there.
Spread? What's the spread?
Is minus 12. Minus 12.
That's 14.
Oh, it's, hammer it's 14. The over. 12? Boys.
I'm seeing 14.
I think it's anywhere from 12 to 14. Hold on. Let me, let's see here. Iowa, Nebraska. I'm seeing anywhere from minus 12 to 13.5 on the website I'm on.
All right.
Where do we think this goes? Everybody give their opinion.
I'll go last.
To me, in a normal year when I was everything's going well, it always seems like somehow, you know, you get to a trophy game. Trophy games are supposed to be close. I thought that maybe Penn State would get up for a game. They've clearly laid down. I don't think Nebraska has laid down per se. But I just don't, doesn't feel like a game. It's
I need to ask you two questions before I give my answer. What is Nebraska's rushing defense?
Yep. Pull that up right here.
And then Bad. Jeremiah, for it's you, good. It's not good. Good. And then for good. You, how do you think their pass protection is?
I think
it doesn't matter. They can't really throw the ball that great.
I was going to say we could hold the pass protection up for, 10 seconds. There's going to be nobody open downfield.
Yeah. There's just,
I'm going to take the Hawks because our rushing defense is good. We're going to run it down your guys' throat. Yep. So I guess I'll take the Hawks and let you have the 14 points. And I can't believe I'm saying that, but
Nebraska is giving up 223 yards on the ground per game.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to run for 300.
No doubt.
We might. And I back to my kind of final answer there. It feels like almost we put four in a row together and this becomes like a 20 to 30 point game.
I think the boys have the confidence. I am confident in our team's confidence because they now understand that if they play as a unit and really buy into this shit, the talent that they've got is insane.
I don't know. What is the, hold on a second. What's the over under is currently sitting at 52.5, 53, 51.5 from different places. I'll go over and I'll say something like 42 to 14.
Mm. Jesus. Mm. I don't know about that. I don't know what that thing. That's a big, big win. I don't know about
that's,
that.
That's my guess.
I do have Iowa winning. I do have Iowa covering because, like we already said, Nebraska's run defense is not good. What did Illinois run for them last week?
It was
like two.
We gave up over 500 yards of offense. We gave up over 500 yards of offense.
That's a lot.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah. And I think you guys lost your best linebacker, too.
Yeah. Colin Miller's out. That was
scary play.
Not gonna be good. Scary play.
I didn't see the actual play. I just saw him getting carted off.
Yeah.
It didn't look bad, but it was bad.
He landed on, apparently he had some, like, he was like, he's like, my feet are asleep. And so they did the whole, like, don't move. I mean, he didn't move for like 10 minutes and then stretchered, carted him off. But like, he's back. He's been walking around to practice, but he's probably done for the year.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's our best linebacker. So he's out too.
Yep.
Oh, okay. No. This is getting uglier by the minute, dude.
Yeah. Glad he's doing better, but. You know, it's just not a good combination for Nebraska Cornhuskers. And then I, you know, McCaffrey's a great athlete, obviously, but I think he's like the Lamar Jackson of college football. I don't think he can throw that well.
I don't even know if you'll see him behind center.
Who knows?
That's a fair point. But I got the Hawks covering this one.
So you think they're going back to Martinez after they benched him?
I wouldn't be surprised, dude. I really wouldn't. I mean, Luke turned the ball over.
At this point, who gives
like,
a shit?
Like, Luke turned the ball over four times last week.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, why not go back to, hey, did this light a fire under you? Are you ready to go now? Like, you've been benched for 2 weeks. Are you ready to, like, go out there and take this?
Honestly, that makes me feel a little bit better about Nebraska's chances, you know? That makes the line a little bit more reasonable. I mean, if they come out with a good – with a quarterback who clearly has a lot of talent, who is extremely hungry and maybe has been in his playbook, like,
he's got
real
one
heavy lately.
They have Wandell Robinson. They have one weapon. They're throwing to Oliver Martin.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know what's going on with our
– Oliver Martin is taking punts back, I think.
Yeah.
He's an Iowa guy, right?
He's a Michigan guy.
Well,
Michigan
no,
guy.
No.
Michigan
We're not
guy.
Claiming his ass.
All right.
Next year, he'll be a Purdue guy.
Probably.
Did they name a starting quarterback, though?
No, we don't do that here until game day. Everything's a giant secret around
we
here.
We don't do that here.
Everything's a giant secret around here for
dude, that – I'll tell you guys one thing. That – annoys the shit out of KF
so
when teams do that.
Oh yeah,
it pisses him off when teams do that. Man, I remember like Ohio State did it. Ohio State did it, I think our freshman year.
It was Urban Meyer was notorious for that shit.
Right. So Ohio State did us for our freshman year, and there's like nothing crazy. No, like on the depth chart that they sent out that they listed. He was just like, oh yeah, you know, usually you get these things on Monday. Here it is on Thursday. Oh, would you look at that? Braxton Miller is going to be the starting quarterback. Oh, no fucking shit. The arrogance out of this fucking guy. I'll tell you what.
Oh, I do remember that.
That's great.
So Searles, where do you see this one ending up?
You know, I see it. It's going to be it's going to be probably ugly. And the reason I say that is I think that the Hawks are exactly like you said, a growing, confident football team. I think they took their lumps early on and they learned from it and they galvanized and they grew together. I will say, I think a lot of that does have to do with the fact that you played subpar teams.
For sure.
Now, Nebraska on the other side, we open up against Ohio State. We get beat pretty good. We go get to play against Wisconsin. We come out, we get beat against Northwestern, who's a good football team, and we just couldn't score. And then we just go get embarrassed by Illinois. We're more on the, we've got doubts all over the field.
Yep.
And I mean, we've been on those teams where you have doubts and I mean, I won 9 or 10 games every year in college, and you, after certain losses, you do have doubts as a football team. So I can't imagine after 3 big losses like that, the doubts that you have. And again, question at quarterback, question of why isn't our JUCO All-American receiver playing? He hasn't played a snap. Like, there's just so much going on. Lose Colin Miller. I think that this could get ugly quickly. I hope that it doesn't for the kids' sake, for the fans' sake, for the state's sake, but I think Iowa wins. That makes me want to throw up coming out of my mouth.
Yeah, maybe.
I think Iowa wins. And
get
I think
used
I,
to it, dude.
And I think
the
Iowa
way
covers.
That program's looking. It's right.
We got a bunch of Iowa covers over here.
I do. I think Iowa wins. Iowa covers. I think it could be a 38-17 type game.
There we go. All right.
Now that you have blown us a little bit, I'm going to let you do it a little more. What do you think Nebraska's chances are, like, going forward the next decade? Against Iowa in this
next
yeah
decade?
Because I mean we've
well,
seen
okay.
what Nebraska
I'll
Iowa
this
looks
game.
Like
Scott Frost
will
be a grandpa then
I'll
from 2010 to 2020 right. We've seen what the quote unquote rivalry has looked like. So now what does it look like from 2020 to 2030?
You know, and
before you answer that, I gotta hop off, guys. It's Hawks by a million this weekend. Searles, always good to have you on. Farmageddon, Hawks take our 6th win in a row this weekend. That's
text,
it. K-Warrior
text us
out.
Your picks, Kev. If you can. All right, peace. Awesome. So, yeah.
All right.
There you go.
So, my question, to answer your question, Drake, is, you know, I think that it'll be a lot closer than people think because I'm very curious to see where the Iowa program goes without Mr. Doyle. I am.
Same.
I think that this year you guys got away with it because, like you said, someone probably stepped up in that locker room and said, hey, boys, like, this shit ain't happening. But without who I've been told by multiple guys who played at Iowa that I played with in the NFL, that Doyle was the heart and soul of that culture. Ferentz is great, I'm sure. But like, we all know the strength coach sets the tone for the whole team. There's no question about it.
Well, Ferentz won't be around for the second half of this decade. He's got 5 years left, maybe.
Correct. Maybe. I think that's a stretch. I think if I'm Ferentz, I'm getting out before then with all this shit that's going on.
Guaranteed.
So then maybe let's call it 5 years. Let's call it
No. We're gonna play the decade. Okay. The decade game here because Scott Frost is there through at least 2026. I thoroughly believe that.
Maybe 36.
We can't fire him and hope to get better. I think if anything, Bill Moos, our AD, is gonna say, hey, you made this bed, lay in it.
Yep.
And so I honestly think that we will split the next decade. I think it will turn into a true rivalry. I think it will turn into a true trophy goes back and forth, 2 years here, 1 year here, because your program is going to have question marks on where they are once Doyle's guys are gone. And I think Nebraska is going to start to figure it out a little bit. Do I think they make the turn to champions in here next decade? No. Do I think we make the turn to above 500 and 7-5 and 8-4 here and there? Yes. Which is notorious for what Iowa has always done. So I think that will be more of a split thing than people think of here in the next decade.
Sounds like a pretty good answer, man. Yeah. I'm curious to see Nebraska get to that 7-5 spot, you know, because we know how hard it is to get to 8-4. Like you can respect how many times you do it in college, 3-4, like
we won 9 or 10 games all 5 years in college.
Okay.
The 9-win special.
Yeah. The 9-win special, man. You just knew it was coming.
Shout out to y'all because that is an accomplishment. And we've probably talked about that on prior episodes.
Hard as hell.
But watching you guys get back to that 7 or 8 win team is going to be interesting because the preseason mouth has always been there. But then the season performance in the last handful, 6-7 years, just hasn't really been there. So I'm interested to see you guys find your way back there.
Agreed. And the Big Ten all around is getting better.
Yep.
Purdue's not what they used to be. I mean, shit, Indiana's a top 10 team. Illinois has got Lovie Smith and probably going to get better. I mean, the Big Ten from top to bottom is getting better. There's no more. Agreed. You guys are seeing it. It's not like Iowa's going to roll in the Northwestern and be like, oh, we're beating the freaking Cats this week. Like,
yeah. Dude, I think they're better than us in the last 10. I think it's probably 6-4.
And I think that's every program in the Big Ten. Maybe, I mean, shit, Maryland last year was the worst show I've seen on turf in a long time. And here they are taking Ohio State. They don't want to play them. They beat Penn State. They're going for runs. I mean, top to bottom, the Big Ten is the best football team in the college football. And you can't tell me otherwise.
Yeah, I agree. And I think personally, I do think it becomes more of an actual rivalry. I think KF and Doyle, for their time, they own Nebraska.
They did.
And Doyle's gone. KF's on his way. And biased as hell, I just don't think that, at least in this decade, whoever comes in for those two, be it Ray and whoever they hire as a head coach, they're not going to be able to hold that grip. I think it becomes an actual rivalry.
Do you guys have a short list of who you want to take over for KF?
For sure. We did a whole pod on it. Drake and I did.
Okay.
The dream would be Nick DeMarco.
Yeah, there's a guy.
If you know DeMarco by a chance,
super familiar.
He was a kid He was a kid that played at William Penn. He was a total stud at William Penn. Then he made it to the NFL for a year, came to Iowa and was an assistant strength coach. Now he's the head strength coach out at Elon, and he's on the cutting edge. Like, Nick is the guy who's trying to push the envelope of science as far as he can, so that like he can find the best training method for his athletes.
You want him as strength coach or head coach?
Strength coach.
Strength coach.
And that's where the environment comes from, you know?
Yeah, correct. We talked about that. But you do have to have a football-minded HC.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Head coach, I don't know. I was all about Brian Ferentz. I don't know where I stand on that anymore.
I don't know if they allow that
anymore. I still think that he would be great, and the culture would modernize but stay the same. But the problem is again, you need all parts working together. AD, head coach, fan base.
If I can't have Brian, because I think Brian is actually a brilliant football mind, like the guy is really good at what he does.
Give me Seth Wallace, fucking.
No. Give me somebody who is young and vibrant, Scott Frost-esque, not Scott Frost, but esque, to do what KF wouldn't and breaking the mold of the old fashioned Hawkeyes, like the style, bring in the uniforms, go huge on recruiting, those kind of things. Because if you make Iowa a more attractive place for the super high recruits with a young head coach, I mean, that's a pretty good, pretty good spot to be in.
I'd agree.
All right. Drake, real quickly before we get off, my wife literally like yelling at me that dinner's ready.
My son's crying downstairs.
Oh, good. Drake doesn't have those problems in his life, either of them.
Nope.
NFL or college picks, Drake, you got them?
Yeah. So give me the Hawks. Okay. And then I've got like a million NFL.
Okay. Then
so
go.
I'm going to do all of the Thursday games. Cause why not? Give me Detroit and 3 points against Houston, +3. Give me the Washington football team, +3 against the Cowgirls. And give me Pittsburgh -5 against Baltimore, because Baltimore's two starting running backs are out.
It's good. Now, good research.
Now give me, where was I? Okay, Josie got pissed at me last week that I bet against them. So let me not bet that game.
Yeah, I'm betting that game. One of my NFL picks, I'll just give both of them real quick. I'm back on the fuck the Jets train. Miami -7 over the Jets. And I'm taking New Orleans over Denver. Sorry, Josie, -6. So those are my two NFL picks.
Well, I had Miami -6.5 against the Jets.
Yep.
PointsBet has a better line, so I'll take that. Mm-hmm. Give me Vegas -3 against Atlanta. I liked what Vegas did against the Chiefs. I think that they're actually a really dangerous football team. Atlanta's lackluster.
Yep.
Give me LA -7 against San Francisco. I just don't think San Francisco is going to be worth a shit until they get their good players back.
My Rams are kind of playing, baby.
They're playing pretty good.
They look good last night.
Yeah.
Give me Cleveland -6.5 against Jacksonville, because Jacksonville has been looking terrible lately. They have no identity. Their quarterback situation is a travesty. Give me Bills Mafia -5.5 against the Chargers.
Love that pick.
And give me Tennessee +3.5 against Indianapolis.
Okay.
And that'll do it.
All right, I'm going to go back and tell my college picks, and we'll wrap it up. Very simple. Two NFL, two college. My two picks for this week are in the Big Ten. Michigan's, I'm just banking that Penn State might actually have half the team quit. Michigan -2.5. Michigan -2.5 against the Nittany Lions.
That's a reasonably good pick. Somebody has to win the game, you know?
Michigan is dog shit, but Penn State, man, they're so bad. We talked about it all episode. And then I'm taking, even though Rutgers – they look better. I'm taking Purdue -12. Purdue -12 against Rutgers. I think that Purdue will handle that game. And those are my two picks. Searles, thank you so much for joining us on this episode. I truly believe that the episodes we do with you are some of the best that we do, some of the most liked by our fans.
By far.
Even though are the friendly enemy. should be interesting to see what happens on Friday. Should be interesting to see what happens in the next decade, like we talked about. This will not be the last time that we have you on. Again, just appreciate you so much. Thankful for you, as some would say, on this Thanksgiving week.
Hey. Happy Thanksgiving, friends.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me on again. I enjoy this. I look forward to it every year. I text Drake, I think, right away. I was like, all right, boys, when we
Monday pond. Morning.
Yep, Monday morning. Sir. So I look forward to the Washed Up Walk-Ons Army. I appreciate you guys. Appreciate your listeners. You reach out to me on Twitter. You guys interact with me. It's a great time. So appreciate you guys as always. And I got to say it, go Big Red.
Hey, Hawks by a million. Hawks by a million. Shout out to the Army. And we expect for y'all to get after Jeremiah's ass on Twitter after we throw him out of the building.
Peace and love, baby. Talk to you guys soon.
everyone. I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf
podcast.
This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.